Over to Jilly, thank you.
Oh, well, good morning, everyone. We seem a little, after last week, we're a little thin on the ground. poor Rita's, well, she just texted, she's just rolled out of bed, bless her. But let's pray it won't be long and she'll be running. That's what we want to see. Definitely dancing, anyway. Oh. So it's just so good to be here. And I wanted to share with you that Richard's sister and husband and their friends, Petra and Edwin, absolutely loved it last Sunday. They said they felt very blessed by it. And so thank you for welcoming them. And just, yeah, I think the whole thing. And I know Edwin was joining in the songs. He didn't, none of them knew any of the songs, but it was, yeah, it was lovely. So we've been chatting to them through the week. Yeah, so it's been great. And just to share a quick story, they took us out to dinner on, I think it was Friday evening, I've lost track of the days, yeah. And turned out to be a Christian restaurant. Yeah, and I'd met the lady before who runs it, and apparently she'd come to the Bible store, and I'd given her a Bible, yeah. So that was icing on the cake. There were what we say at the end from Corinthians was on a board on the pillar in the restaurant. So, yeah. So that was great. Right, lovely. So. we have a wonderful message today. God wants to be intimate with us. And when you think of the amazing creation around us that God created, and yet he wants to be intimate with us. So it's just wonderful. So we're going to start with, "Great is thy faithfulness." And it says, "Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000 beside." And we pray that Rita at home, when she gets to listen to this, will know the Lord's presence with her. So let's pray before we start. Lord Jesus, it's just so good to be here. It's so good to worship you as a family, Lord. And we do pray for Rita not being able to be with us. And Lord, we thank you for the time with Richard's sister, family and friends. And thank you that they're safely home. And we pray that they will know you more and more. So, Lord, this morning we come to worship you in spirit and in truth. And we sing about your faithfulness to us and your intimacy with us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Change.
now let us come to our faithful God in prayer. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we come to worship you, to say that we love you and we adore you. You, Lord, mean so much to us. Not only are you our creator and provider, you open to all who trust you a new life, an abundant life, an eternal life. Such is your love for us. So, Lord, we desire to repent of our past and offer our lives completely to you. Take us, Lord, and use each one of us in accordance with your will. We pray for your world and for all the people in it, for the leaders, the doctors, the nurses, the carers, and all who contribute to make life more peaceful, more wonderful, and more pleasing to you. We pray, Lord, for your church. Grant us by the power of the Spirit to be your ambassadors, and may the glory be yours and yours alone. We remember especially today Stuart, who is still in hospital. We ask, Lord, that you would be very close to him, and we pray, Lord, that he may know the time coming when he can come back to his own home. We pray, Lord, that that might be soon. We ask, Lord, that you would be his strength, that you would be his patience, and that you would surround him with your peace. We pray for Rita, still very much in pain and unable to be with us today, but Lord, we're looking forward to when she has her operation on the 17th of this month, and we ask that you would be with her and with the hospital as they prepare for that surgery. We also pray for Rita's granddaughter, April. She's still waiting for her date for surgery, Lord. And we pray that that might happen sooner than later. So, Lord, undertake them. And, Lord, although Deborah is with us today, she is in terrible back pain, and we ask that she might know your healing hand. And then, Lord, we want to bring to you Bruce's mum and dad, John and Margaret. And Lord, today particularly, we want to remember Bruce's dad, John. Lord, be with him. Be all that he needs. Oh, Lord, he wants to do things, but, Lord, not always possible. We ask, Lord, that you would keep him safe, that you would keep him sensible, and that both John and Margaret might know all the help that they need. So, Lord, we ask that you would be with them. And we ask, Lord, that you would be with us, each one of us, Lord. Richard, Jilly, Robert, Brian, Graham, Deborah, Eunice, Jean, Sarah and myself. And Lord, we ask that you would be all that each one of us need. And we want to pray, Lord, for our own family and friends, other people that we know have special needs at this time. And we ask that you will be all that they need at this time. And now, Lord, we look to the future. We ask that you would equip and guide us as we seek to walk with you day by day. May our walk be filled with joy, with hope, and with peace. And may we walk so closely with you, Lord, that nothing will spoil our relationship with you, Father, Son, and Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
So we're going to do something a little different. We're going to stay in this prayerful mode. We're going to sing to you. We weren't sure who knew this, so we thought we'd sing it to you so that you could reflect on the words as we think of this message of intimacy with God. And it's just so wonderful, as it says in Zephaniah 3:17, that the Lord sings over us. How wonderful is that to know? So the Father's song.
I have heard so many songs, listen to a thousand tongues, but there is one that sounds above them all—the Father's song, the Father's love. You sung it over me and for eternity. It's written on my heart. Heaven's perfect melody. Creator's symphony, you are singing over me, the Father's song. Heaven's perfect mystery, the King of love has sent for me, and now you're singing over me, the Father's song. I have heard so many songs, listen to a thousand tongues, but there is one that sounds above them all. Father's song. Sung it over me and for eternity. It's written on my heart. Heaven's perfect melody, the Creator's symphony. Mystery, the King of love has sent for me, and now you're singing over me, the Father's song. Thank you. heaven's perfect mystery. The King of Love has sent for me, and now you're singing over me the Father's song. The Father's song, the Father's love, you sung it. Written on my heart.
Thank you very much. And now over to our scripture reading, and I'd already given this reading to Deborah before I knew that she wasn't going to be. She's here, but she's in pain. Right, over to Deborah.
The reading this morning is from Acts 15, verses 11 to 24. Jesus said, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? I hear I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servant, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Jenny.
What a wonderful story of love. And we're going to follow that with, here is love, vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood.
Here is love, vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood. When the Prince of Life, our ransom, shed for us his precious blood. Thank you.
Can I just let you know, if you don't already know, that Ginny and Robert will not be with us next week or for a few weeks, two Sundays, right? They are off to Canada to see family, and we want to assure them of our prayers. Have a safe journey. Have a great time. Come back to us. As I look at the message today, my first three words must be this: God loves us. God wants to be intimate with us. For that to happen, there needs to be reconciliation. And as the reading that we had teaches, when the rebellious son as the reading teaches, when the rebellious son acknowledged personal responsibility for his own sin, that was the first step towards reconciliation and restored intimacy with his father. That's when that intimacy began. And the Bible, you know, has got much to say about reconciliation. For instance, reconciliation is needed. In the beginning, there was an intimate relationship between God and his human creations. But as soon as man sinned, that relationship was broken. We read in Genesis that when Adam and Eve heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. That indicates to us that up to that point, God desired to interact with his creation. After all, that's why he was in the garden. But because of sin, man was now afraid of a relationship with God. For instance, Adam told God, "I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." And from that point on, sinful mankind was alienated from God, separated from God. If God had not intervened, man would have continued on in rebellion and estrangement from his creator. But you see, God took the first step. And while we were still sinners, what happened? Jesus Christ died for us. And you know, reconciliation means restoration. It means restoring a relationship. And in the biblical sense, it is the restoration of a fellowship between God and us. It involves the removal of sin, which changes the relationship between God and us, changes it from one of hostility to one of friendship. You see, my friends, without reconciliation, there can be no relationship. Reconciliation involves both God and us. It changes the relationship between the two parties, who are no longer separated by the barrier of sin. Here's how both parties are involved. Mankind is the object of reconciliation. God effects a change in us through the removal of sin. How? By the death of Christ on the cross. He who was without sin bore our sin on his body. therefore restoring the harmony between God and us. And you know, Paul affirms us as the object of reconciliation when he says this: all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Jesus. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Jesus, not counting our sins against us. So, God is the object of reconciliation. He is the removal of the hostility or wrath from those separated parties. That's us. Therefore, the death of Christ removed God's enmity against mankind. While we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. How? Through the death of his Son. And you know, reconciliation was accomplished at Calvary. Calvary signifies the location of the cross on which Christ died. His death was accomplished both universal and individual. That's what it was. It was a personal and individual reconciliation. The Bible says, God reconciled the world to himself with Christ's payment for sin on the cross. Because sin's debt was paid, the way it says is now clear for people to be reconciled to God. Thank goodness for our God of love. Thank goodness that Jesus was willing to pay that sacrifice. The fact of reconciliation does not mean that everyone in the world will desire or receive that reconciliation. You know, it's not realized until a person, of course, turns to God. And that's why Paul urges this: be reconciled to God. Yes, you see, reconciliation is offered through Jesus' death, but it occurs only when a person receives God's forgiveness in Jesus. And as this verse affirms, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. So then, what does this all mean for us? The news that God and man can be reconciled is surely the central message of the gospel. The war between God and man is over. If we have received Jesus as our Lord and Savior, our sins are blotted out and we have been made righteous. Oh, what a great God we have. We are no longer God's enemy or a stranger or a foreigner to God. This is great news. Yes, news worthy of sharing surely with other people. Because we have been reconciled, God has given to us the message of reconciliation. As such, in other words, we are Christ's ambassadors. We are his ambassadors. And God has made this appeal to us, to implore us not only to be reconciled to God, but to convey that message of reconciliation to someone, perhaps someone today, perhaps many people, who knows. But if we have accepted God's reconciliation, if we have accepted Jesus as our Savior, then we have been reconciled to God. We can't keep that to ourselves. How dare we keep it to ourselves? We need to pass it on. We need to let people know that Jesus died for them on the cross. We need to let them know that God is a God of love, a God of reconciliation. And no matter what our past has been, oh, that doesn't alter the fact that God will welcome us into his family. So we can talk to God, can't we? Any time, any day or night. 365 days a year. How can we do that? It's because of our intimate relationship with God. Let me just remind you that he hears our prayers and he personalizes his response for us, and that is according with his will. Yes, he answers our prayers, but the answer comes within the will of God, our Lord and Father. And because of our kinship to God, we can know that his actions on our behalf will always be in our best interests. You know, sometimes we may see what God's done and we wonder why. Why has God done this? Why did God expect us to do that? My friends, we know that God loves us. We know that he wants an intimate relationship with us. That being so, surely we must be ready to obey God's word. We must be ready to accept the life that God is planning for us. But much more than that, we must be out in the world, as we would say, letting other people know of the reconciliation that we have received. It must be horrible, you know, in a family where two loved ones come to a disagreement and then don't want to know each other anymore. And it's wonderful when we see reconciliation. But you know, the reconciliation we're talking about is mankind with God. And we've got a God who loves us. We've got a God who wants us to be with him. He wants to be intimate with us. That's saying something. Have we realized that in the past? There is God wanting an intimate relationship with us because we are his people and we have a message to pass on to others. Amen.
So, following that wonderful message, and just before communion, we're going to sing Meekness and Majesty. And I was struck by the words, Lord of Infinity, stooping so tenderly, lifts our humanity to the heights of his throne. Amen.
First, may we come to the invitation to the table. Let us come because Jesus loves us and he died on the cross for us. Let us come and meet the risen Lord, for not only did he die, but he rose from the dead and is alive forevermore. Let us come and bring our concerns and our problems to him. May we believe that he will indeed deal with them for us. Let us come like the disciples, ready to do whatever the Lord requires of us. Let us come with thankful hearts. Let us come in humility and go in confidence, because we know Jesus is Lord. Let us pray. Lord, we come to your table. We come to remember the great and wonderful sacrifice that you made for us, without which there could be no reconciliation. Oh Lord, we come, we take this bread and wine, and we do it as you requested, in remembrance of all that was suffered on the cross of Calvary. And so, we are invited to take the bread, to take it in remembrance that Jesus died for us, and we're to feed on him in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Right. We remember also that Jesus took the cup. He said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed by my blood." He said, "Whenever you drink it, do this in memory of me." We retained the cup so that we might all drink together. And I wonder, Ginny, would you serve the... The blood of Jesus was shed for us and for many for the remission of sins. Let us drink and be truly thankful. Lord, let us go to our families and friends and to our homes, knowing that our Lord Jesus goes with us. Let us go in peace, loving and serving our Lord. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us and with all whom we love, both this day and forevermore. Now we continue. Graham, if you could. And there is a reminder in the service sheet for the food bank. That's our week next week. I like the way it says, a gentle reminder. There we are. So we're going to sing our lovely last hymn, and then we will gather together as we normally do. All right. Thank you.
So we're going to sing Love Divine or Love's Excelling. Bruce's favourite. But he's going to mime. Bless him.
Oh.
right, let us join together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ,
and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
Hallelujah.